Okay, let's pick up here from about five lines down on Chaf Hamad Beis. The first one on the line is Gabe. We'd been discussing the machlokas between Rav Tarfon and the Chacham, and we said that according to Rav Tarfon, he's willing to invoke Dayo only if it doesn't leave the Kal Vachomer that we're starting with as superfluous. So the Gemara now says, Amalei Rav Achim Edifti L'Ravina, Vaha Haitana Delo Darsh Dayo V'Avagav Delo Mifra Kal Vachomer. But what about the following Tana, who doesn't darshan Dayo, he doesn't invoke the concept of Dayo, even though invoking Dayo in this scenario would not result in the Kal Vachomer being superfluous? Where do we see such a thing? The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Mepetz b'meis minayin. How do you know that a Mepetz? Mepetz is a mat that's made out of reeds. It's like a cheap mattress that they used to use. And of course, anytime that you see a Mepetz in Shas, I shouldn't say anytime, but many times that you see the word, you see Mepetz being used in Shas, it is a red flag that we're going to be discussing a Medrash. And Tumas Medrash, we'll discuss that in a second. But for right now, what we have to know is, how do you know that the Braisa asks, how do you know that a Mepetz, that this mat, is subject to Tumas Meis? Now, what kind of Tumas Meis are we talking about? We're talking about specifically Tumas Meis, Tumas Ohel of a Meis. So we know that for Ohel, there's generally two ways to transmit Tumah by means of an Ohel. Is going to be either by means of being in the same, under the same roof as something else, being in the same Ohel as a corpse, let's say, or being ma'ahil over the corpse, right? If something passes over or suspended over the corpse, it can become tamei al derech tumas ol. So now the question is, how do you know that a mepetz, let's say you have this mat, and it's in the same room as a corpse, how do you know that it is subject to tumas ohel, it becomes tamei? So the Gemara, the Braisa, tells us that there's a svara that allows us to know this. Now, before we get started, remember, anytime we're talking about Tumah, what we talked about before is that there's two major things that you're on the lookout for immediately for Tumah, and that's going to be, number one, the target, right? We're going to measure the Chomer of Tumah based on what it can be mitame. Can it be mitame people? Can it be mitame kalim? Can it be mitame food? If it can be mitame food, are we talking about chulin? Are we talking about Truma? Are we talking about kachim? So one is going to be the target. That's always one question. The second question is the means of transmission. How is the truma? How is the tuma being transmitted? Is it by means of maga, by direct contact? Is it by masa, by lifting it up? Is it? And we'll discuss a couple others. Is it by means of ohel, etc. And those are also, simply speaking, those are measures for how chomer the tuma is. And the third thing that we're going to be on the lookout for now is going to be the mark that's left on the target, meaning to say, how long lasting is that tuma? What does it take in order to remove that tuma? Can you just put in the mikvah and it becomes tahar by night? Do you have to, does it take a 7-day process in order for it to become tahar? Okay, so those are the questions. So in order to measure the chomer of tuma. So now the Gemara, the Braisa, deals with this question. Mepetz b'meis minayin. How do you know that a mepetz, that this mat, can be subject to tumas meis? And this is specifically tumas ohel of a meis. So v'dinu it's a svara u'ma pachim gadam. Just as small jugs, shetahor mizav, they are tahor by azav. Now what does it mean that they are tahor by azav? So when we see tahor, it doesn't really mean that it's like you purify. What that means is that they are immune to tuma, meaning to say they are not susceptible to being mekabel tuma. So just like pachim gadan, these small jugs that are tahor mizav, they are not susceptible to tumas zav, and even so, mitame, or some change it to tamein b'meis, they are tamei when they come into contact with a meis. Now we'll discuss what that means specifically is tumas ohel meis. That's what we care about. What does it mean? Wait a second. Let's just back up for a second. What does it mean that the pachim ketanim, these small jugs, are not subject to tumas zav? Is that true? So number one, you have to know that we're not talking about metal kelim. We're not talking about wooden kelim. We're talking about earthenware kelim. We're talking about clay cheres. Klei cheres, the uniqueness of klei cheres, is that they are not, you cannot be metame klei cheres through their exterior, right? By touching the outside of the kli, by lifting the outside of the kli, you cannot be metame the kli. The way to be metame the kli is by inserting tuma into the airspace, into the confines of the kli. If you do that, then the kli becomes tame. So number one possibility, so when we say that pachim ketanim are immune to tumas zav, that means that the zav, if it touches it, obviously not. But what about being metame, but what about the zav inserting something into the airspace of the kli. And let's keep this simple for now. Let's say his finger. The Balatosis, we shouldn't discuss what about other parts of his body, maybe hair. He should be able to insert easily. But either way, if he tries to insert his finger into the jug, why isn't it becoming tummy? You have tuma being suspended into the airspace of the kli. The answer is that we're talking about specifically small jugs that have a very narrow opening that he can't fit his finger into. That's number one. So that's why it's not susceptible to tuma in that way. Al derech it's aver. Now, what about medrash? We know that a zav can be metame al derech medrash. What's medrash? Medrash is when a zav puts its weight on something that's meant to support his weight. Meaning to say, let's say a mattress or a couch, right? So a mattress is meant to be lied upon. So let's say a zav lies down on the mattress. The mattress becomes tummy, even if there's something separating between the zav and the mattress. If it's supporting his weight, even if there's no direct contact, it becomes tummy. Similarly, if he sits in the chair becomes tummy through tumas medrash. Now, even if there's something separating between him and the chair, again, the chair becomes tummy because it's supporting his weight. But that, of course, is only if he's sitting on something that's meant to be sat upon, or he's lying on something that's meant to be lied upon, right? So let's say, though, he sits down on a laptop. So that laptop does not become tummy. Even let's keep things simple, where he's not kind of having direct contact with it, where there's a sheet that's dividing between him and the laptop. So it's not going to become tame al derech tumas medrash. Why not? Because we say amod v'nasim alachtenu, get off this. A laptop is something about which we would say get off this, so that I can use it for what it's meant to be used for, so that I can use it for its purposes. So masha ink in a chair or masha ink in a couch, those are things that are meant to be lied upon or sat upon. So those are the things that can become tame al derech tumas medrash. So for jugs, for these little jugs, we're not talking about something that's meant to be lied on or sat on, and so therefore that's not subject to tumas medrash. Okay, so that deals with the second kind of tumah. What about tumas hesed? Tumas hesed we know is by moving, dislodging a kli, specifically a kli cheres in this case. So normally we say that tumas hesed is a super duper tumas mag. We learn out in the pesukim from the fact the pasuk says ashi go ba'azav. We learn out that means tumas maga. Tumas hesed. Tumas hesed is a super duper tumas maga. Why? Presumably because you're not just touching one part of the kli, you're moving the entire kli. If you're dislodging the entire kli, that is a way of touching every molecule in that kli. And so it becomes tame, it would become tame that way. But therefore, because of the rules of hesed, because we view hesed as a super duper tumas maga, so anything that's not subject to tumas maga is not going to be subject to tumas hesed, because hesed is built upon maga. And so since in this case we're dealing with a kli that's not shaykh in tumas maga, it can't be subject to tumas hesed either. And so that's what we mean in this braisa. When we say that pachim ketanim are immune to tumas zav, what that means is that the zav can't insert his finger because it's the opening is too narrow. It's not subject to tumas medrash because you don't sit on it or lie on it. It's not subject to tumas hesed because it's not subject to tumas magad. It's not subject to tumas magad. It's not subject to tumas hesed. Now, here's the svar. V'dinu, ma pachim ketanim, just as pachim ketanim, shetahor mezav, they are immune to tumas zav. They don't become tamei al derech any of these ways by a zav, and still tamei b'meis, and still they are tamei by means of a maze. What does it mean? How are they coming tamei by a means of a maze? This means if you have a kli cheres that's sitting under the same roof as a maze, the kli becomes tamei, or if it's mile over the maze. So even if it has a narrow opening, it doesn't make a difference. We view it as though the tumma, maybe the simplest way to think about it is that we view it as though the tumma of the maze is permeating the airspace of the kli, and it's permeating the airspace of the kli, which means that it can make it tamei al derech tumas ohel. Okay, so that is, so even though it's immune to tumas zav, it's not immune to tumas meis, tumas ohel of a meis. So mepetz, when we're dealing with this mat that's made out of reeds, so mepetz she metame, except they change it to she tame bezav, a mepetz is subject to tumas zav. Why is a mepetz subject to tumas zav? Again, as we said before, because we're dealing with a mepetz is something that's meant to be lied upon. If it's meant to be lied upon, it's subject to tumas medrash. So a mepetz shetame bezav, it is subject to the mazav, enodin sheyitame or sheyehei tame would be a little bit better, b'meis. So then it goes without saying then that it should be subject to tumas ohel of a meis. Again, what's the svar? The svar is that a pachim with animal are immune to tumas zav, and still they are subject to tumas meis. So if I find something that's not immune to tumas zav, like mepetz is subject to tumas zav, so then it certainly should be susceptible to tumas ohel of a meis. Now, the question is, remember, that's going to deal with, number one, the target, right? Whether this is a target for mace, for ohel mace, is the mepetz. But the next question that we have to ask is, well, to what extent? How long-lasting is that tumah? So, now, what might you have said, right? The tumah, the two tumas that are on the table are either tumas erev or tumas sheva. Right? Tumas sheva is something that is shaykh generally for kelim that are in the same ohel as a mace, though those are things that we say that they are tame for a period of 7 days. But for tumah of a zav, that's not going to be, for the ones that we're talking about right now, they're not going to be tame for a period of 7 days. It's going to be tumas erev. Those are things that if you immerse them in the mikvah, they can become tahar by evening. They don't require 7 days. So the question is, what about over here? I'm deriving the rules of mepetz by ohel of a mace based on from the mepetz by a zav. So maybe then it should be limited to the parameters of tumas mepetz by a zav, which would mean that it should be only tamei tumas erev. It shouldn't be tamei for a period of 7 days. So the kamaisilo, but even so, we bring it, meaning to say we derive these rules from tumas zav to tumas mace. And we say it's bein l'tumas erev, bein l'tumas shiva. The mepetz would be tame al derech tumas ohel for a full period of 7 days. Even though when a zav lies on something, it's mitame it only tumas erev. So why is that? Why are we saying that the mepetz, when we're in the world of tumas ohel of a maze, it's subject to tuma for it's tame for a period of 7 days? But why should that be? Ema, I would have thought to say ahani kavachomer l'tumas erev, the kavachomer that allows us to apply the rules of zav, of tumas zav, to of mepetz by zav to mepetz for an ol, and that's of course based on pachim katanim. So I would have said ema ahani kavachomer l'tumas erev, the kavachomer helps to bring over to apply that this should be subject to tumah, but only tumas erev. But ahani dayo lafuki tumas shiva, because dayo is going to damper it. Dayo is going to temper that kavachomer and say that it's not going to be shayach to be subject to tumah for a period of 7 days. So if that's the case, so here's an example of where we say that mepetz is subject to tumas meis, is subject to tumas meis for a period of 7 days. The kavachomer is where we are saying a kavachomer, and we could easily invoke dayo to say that it shouldn't be subject to tumas shiva, but we don't invoke dayo, even though. Invoking Dao would not result in the Kavachomer being unnecessary. So says the Gemara, Amrlei. So Ravina says back to Rav Nachman Difti, Kvar Ramani Alei, Rav Nachman Bar Zechariah Abaye. Now this question was already raised or by Rav Nachumi Bar Zechariah to Abaye. Rav Nachumi Bar Zechariah asked this question already to Abaye, and what did Abaye answer? Amrlei Abaye. Abaye told him, Tana mi mepetz besharetz maizilah. Your old question is based on the fact that mepetz that we're talking about is mepetz b'meis, and we learn out the rules of mepetz b'meis from mepetz by a zav. But that's not true. That's not really what's going on over here. The discussion at hand in this braisa is really mepetz b'sheretz. So mepetz b'sheretz, sorry, I lost the place for a second. Mepetz b'sheretz ma'isila. We are learning it out from mepetz b'sheretz, and this is the lumdus. It's as follows. Here is the svar, here's the logic. Mepetz b'sheretz minayin. How do you know that a mepetz is subject to tumas sheretz? So how do you know? We know it's from the following svar. Bedinhu, ma pachim katanim shetar mizav tmei b'sheretz. Just as pachim katanim, they are immune to tumas zav, and even so, they are not immune to tumas sheretz. Pachim katanim are subject to tumas sheretz. Wait a second, how are they subject to tumas sheretz? How is the sheretz supposed to come into contact with the kli? And the answer is, this is what Rashi says, is that a sheretz is able to be metame even b'ka'adasha. All you need is the size of a lentil. And so if all you need is the size of a lentil in order to transmit tumah, then all you need to do then is drop the lentil's worth of sheretz into this kli, and now it's in its airspace, and if it's in its airspace, it's able to be kabel tumah. So now, just as Pachim Tanim are tahar by a zav, they're muted to mazav, and still they're subject to tumas sheretz. So mepetz shetame bizav. So then a mepetz which is subject to tumas zav, as we know, it's subject to tumas zav al derech midras, and odin sheitame b'sheretz. So then certainly it should be subject to tumah of a sheretz, and so therefore we're not dealing with any of the parameters that you thought where we are carrying over a 7-day time period for the length, for the duration of the tumah. So that question doesn't really get off the ground. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Ella, so wait a second, where does that leave us? We said that what we thought the Braisa was discussing was mepetz. How do you know that a mepetz is subject to tumas oala of a mace? And so we thought that we can derive it based on tumas zav and say, oh, you know that how mepetz is in the world of tumas zav, so we should know how mepetz is in the world of tumas mace. And then Abai comes along and says, actually, no, that's not really what's going on over here. The discussion at hand is not mepetz b'mace. The discussion at hand is mepetz b'sheretz, which means then that at this stage of the Gemara, if you revise the Braisa, it'd be discussing mepetz b'sheretz and not mepetz b'mace. We still don't know then how you know that mepetz should be subject to tumas ol of a mace. So therefore, the Gemara says el mepetz b'mace b'nai. So wait a second. So then, how do you know that a mepetz should be subject to tumas ol of a mace? Nemar. The answer is because we know that one pasuk says beged va'or b'sheretz. It says beged va'or in the context of sheretz. What is that pasuk over there? So this is the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Alfiyud Beis. Let's just read it very quickly. The pasuk says v'kol asher yipol olav mehem b'mosam yitma mikol kli eitz o beged va'or o sak kol kli asher ye'asa malach behem b'mayim yuva behem b'mayim yuva v'tamei ara arev v'tahir. So from that pasuk we see that it says beged va'or in the context of tumas sheretz. The name of beged va'or b'meis, and it says beged va'or in the context of meis. Where? So this is the Sukkim in Bamidbar, the end of Bamidbar, where it says v'chol beged v'chol kli or v'chol ma'aseizim v'chol kli eitz tischata'u. You're going to have to purify those things using the mechatas because they're subject to tumas ohel of a meis. So says the Gemara. So here's the svar. Here's the drasha. Nemar beged va'or b'sheretz. It says beged va'or in the context of sheretz. V'nemar beged va'or b'meis. And it says beged va'or in the context of meis. So ma beged va'or ha'amor b'sheretz mepetz tamibo. So just as beged va'or that are mentioned in the context of sheretz, we know that mepetz is subject to tum in that world. So af beged va'or ha'amor b'meis mepetz tamibo. So too for the beged va'or that we're discussing by a meis, mepetz is also subject to tumah. In other words, how do you know that mepetz is subject to tumas oel of a meis? The answer is gezeirah shava. We learn out the dinim from sheretz. So says the Gemara. Now wait a second. Let's just take a step back to make sure that we have all the rules for gezeirah shava in place. For gezeirah shava, the basic idea behind gezeirah shava is that I have a word or a phrase in one context, and I have a word or phrase in another context, and I spill over, I link the two contexts, and I apply the rules of one to the other. But there's a couple of questions over here. Number one, what is it that these words lend themselves? What is it about these words that lends themselves to serve for gezeirah shava? So presumably, it's because you have a couple of extra words floating around the pasuk, and because you have a couple of extra words floating around the pasuk, that's what allows a linkage between this context and another context. But a question we have to ask is, what is it again? So do the words have to be extra on both ends, in both contexts, or do they have to be extra in only one context, and that's enough that we can get the signal that you're supposed to link another context that has those words together? That's one question. And then the second question is going to be, is whenever you're linking a gezer shava, whenever you're linking two contexts together, so we say that you apply the rules of one to the other. Well, wait a second. Number one, do I apply all the rules? Do I say that it goes both ways? So to what extent do you make that linkage? How far does that go? So that's going to be the two major issues that the Gemara is going to deal with. So the Gemara says as follows. Number one, well, mufna, clearly, it's got to be that there's availability here. It's got to be that the words are available. They're extra. Dilomufna, because if they're not available, if they're not extra, so then you should be able to challenge this gezer shava and say, how can you devote the words for this? Because Zeir Shava, don't you have something that's pulling you back? What would that be? So you would be able to ask, if you don't have the availability of this word signaling that you should push through this Gezer Shava, you would be able to ask the following question, Ma l'sharetz, what is to sharetz? Meaning to say, how can you make an application from the way that Tumah operates for sharetz and compare that with Tumah for Ohel, for Tumah's Ohel of Emes? Ma l'sharetz, shakin mitam v'chadash. We know that sharetz is really powerful Tumah. A sharetz is able to be metame even b'kadosh, even with the size of a lentil. Tomer b'meis, are you going to say, you're going to make an application to a meis, shein metame b'kadosha, el b'kadzayis? You're going to be able to apply the rules of sharetz to tumas meis, which requires a much larger size to be able to be transmit tuma. You need the size of kadzayis in order for a meis to be metame. Right, the meis, the chunk of corpse that we have to be dealing with, is going to have to be the size of kadzayis. So how are you allowed to apply the rules of Tumas Sharetz to Tumas Mace? Clearly Tumas Sharetz is much more chumer than Tumas Mace because Tumas Sharetz is able to transmit Tumas so much more easily. So therefore, because of that, it's got to be that there's an extra word, there's availability for these words to be involved in the Gezer Shavet. So indeed, in truth, yeah, you're right. It's got to be that there is availability here. There is some sort of extra nature to these phrases. How are they extra? Michti. Let's take a look. Sheretz is kishlo shechvezer. We know that a sheretz is equated in the psukim to shechvezer. Where do you see that tumas sheretz is equated to tumas shechvezer? Dechsev, because we know that the pasuk says, O ish asher teitzi mimenu, right? So this is the pasuk, Vayikra Chavbeis Dali, where the pasuk, let's just read it quickly. The pasuk says, Ish ish mizera Aaron v'hutzaru ozav v'kadashim lo yochal ad asher yitar v'anogeh b'chol tamei nefesh o ish asher teitzi mimenu shechvezera. Right, when it's talking about the kachim in this pasuk, we'll have to see what kachim is exactly, but the when we're talking about Aaron or Kohana being able to eat their chuma, their kachim, we say that they cannot be tummy. Tummy in terms of what? Either as a mitzora or as a zav, and the pasuk ends off, or ish asher teitzi mimenu shechvezera, or a person who has had shechvezera, has had carry released. So one pasuk says, O ish asher teitzi mimenu v'chulei, v'samech lei, and right next door to that pasuk is the very next pasuk. It says, O ish asher yigav v'chol sheretz asher yitmelo, O ba'adam asher yitmelo l'chol tumaso. So it says explicitly that or a person becomes tameh by means of touching a sheretz. So you see that sheretz is right next door to shechvezera, and we know, and therefore there's a hekesh between those two. There's the pasuk equates those two. There's a linkage that equates them, that suggests to equate them. V'ksiv bei b'shechvezera. We know that in the context of shechvezera, the pasuk tells us, when the pasuk tells us about the halachas of shechvezera, it says v'chol beged v'chol or asher yalav shechvezera. That what are the kinds of things that become tamei al derech tumas shechvezera? If there are kalim, if there's clothing, if there's baggage, or if there's ore that the shechvezera ends up on, those things are subject to tumah. So what do you see then? I know that tumas sheretz is equal to shechvezera. I know that the pasuk equates them, and I also know that shechvezera is already able to be metame baggage va'or. In which case, now I have a question. Well, then why did the pasuk, in the context of sheretz, spell out baggage va'or explicitly? I already could have known that Beged and Or applied to Sheretz, that they're subject to Tumas Sheretz, because I know that applies to Shechvezera can be Metame Beged V'Or, and I know that the Pasuk equates Shechvezera with Sheretz. So then why does the Pasuk have to spell Beged V'Or in the context of Sheretz? The answer is, Sho Shmaim Alefni. So clearly, these words are extra, they're available, and therefore we can use them for Gzer Shada. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'akati Mufna Mitzad Echadu. But still, that availability, the extra phrase that you have, that would allow you to make a gezer shava between tumas sheretz and tumas ohel of a maze, that's only on one side, right? It's only on the side of, because we said that beged va'or in the context of sheretz is extra. So vakati mufni mitzad echadu, it's only extra on one side, it's only available on one side. So anich leman darma mufni mitzad echad lemeidin vein mashivin shaper. It's great if you hold like the opinion who says that for gezer shavas to work, it's got to be available on one end, and that's enough to get for you to get the signal. Use this word and find some other place in the Torah to link it together with, which would tell you to make the gezer shava. Ve'im mashivin, and we can't question, we can't second guess that gezer shava, and that's fair game, shaper. So then if you hold like that opinion that you only need it to be extra available on one end, that makes a lot of sense. That's great. But if you learn like Manda Amr, who says that if it's extra on only one end, you learn it, but we can question it, we can challenge it, and make sure that it makes sense. Michael Mamer, then what are you going to be able to say? How are you able to link Beged Va'or by Sheretz to Beged Va'or by Mace? So says the Gemara, the Mace Nami Afnui Mufna. So it must be that the Beged Va'or in the context of Mace is also extra, right? Because according to this Mind Number, we're going to have to show that the word, the phrase Beged Va'or is available for Gezerah Shava in the Sheretz context, and also going to have to show the Beged Va'or is going to be available for Gezerah Shava in the Mace context. So how do you see that Beged Va'or in the context of Mace is extra? Michti. Because let's take a look. Mace is Kishlushik Vazer. I know that Mace is equated, is compared to Shikh Vazer. How do I know? The Chsiv is the Pasuk says Vanoge Bechol Tamei Nefesh O Isha Shirtetzi Mimenu. Right? We know that the Pasuk, when it's talking about, again, going back to the Pasuk about Aaron, about the Kohanim, so we know that it says a person who touches Vanoge Bechol Tamei Nefesh. Right? A person who touches a Tamei Nefesh. A person who is contaminated by means of a soul, meaning Tamei Mace. O Isha Shirtetzi Mimenu. Or a man who released Shech Vazera. The Pasuk treats them the same. He equates them. They're lumped together. Uksiv Bey, and we know that it's written by B'Shech Vazera, V'chol Beged V'chol Or, Asher Yelav Shech Vazera. So we know that Shech Vazera is able to be Matame, a Beged and an Or. So then if that's the case, I know that Shech Vazera can be Matame, Beged and an Or, and I know that the Torah equates Shech Vazera to Tumas Meis, so then I should automatically know that a Tumas Meis is able to be, that a Meis is able to be Matame, a Beged. So then the question is, so Beged V'Or, the Kutzer Rechman of a Meis Lomot. So why did the Torah spell out Beged V'Or in the context of mace, if I could have already learned that Beged V'Or is subject to Tumas Ol of a mace from Shech Vazera? The answer is, so Shema Min Alefnui. So you see that it is to show you, to make it available, that so now you have Beged V'Or is available on two ends. It's available on the end of the Sheretz, and it's available in the context of mace, and therefore I can link the two and make a Gezer Shava to pull over the denim of one to the other. Now wait a second though. What were the dinim we were trying to pull over? So the Gemara says, "Hani chlamanda radon mina v'uki ba'asra." This is great if you learn like the Manda Amr, who says, whenever you invoke a gezer shaveh, you apply it, you learn from the source category, the source topic that you're trying to pull dinim over from, v'uki ba'asra, but you keep it in its place. Meaning to say that once I know, the ones I'm able to apply the general principle that Tumah should apply, of that an Ol of a Mace should be able to be Metame, and how do I know that principle that should be able to be Metame? I know it from Beged V'Or of Sheretz. So I know that since Beged V'Or by Sheretz are subject to Tumah Sheretz, so I know that Beged V'Or are subject to Tumah Mace. But what kind of Tumah? Maybe the spillover from Beged V'Or by Sheretz should be complete. It should be all the Dinim by Sheretz should be pulled over to Beged V'Or in the context of Mace. And so therefore, I would say that for Beged V'Or B'Sheretz, those are subject to Tumah only Tumas Erev, not Tumas Sheva. So then maybe when I'm talking about Beged V'Or, I'm linking it to Beged V'Or by Mace, so maybe I pull over that din as well, that the Tumah is only with respect to Tumas Erev, not Tumas Sheva. So how do I know that the Tumah, that a Mace is able to be Matame, Al-Darech Oel, that the Tumah is able to convey to a Beged V'Or, is Tumas Sheva? So if you learn like the Mind Armor says, Domina V'Uki Basra, that the way the Gezer Shavas work is that, no, just apply from it, learn out the rules from it, but keep it in its place. Meaning to say, establish the rules that got halacha based on that context that you're applying it to. So in this case, I would say V'Uki Basra would tell you that for Tumas Meis, once I know that Meis can be Matam Al-Derech Oel, so now I'll say Uki Basra, and therefore it's going to be subject to the rules that govern Tumas Meis in general, and therefore Mepetz will be subject to Tumas Shiva. El Olaman Dharma Domina Umina, that the way that Gezer Shava works is you pull over all the Dinim. We learn out all the Dinim from one to the other. Now, so then all I would know then, in other words, and therefore the source, the original context from which we're pulling over dinim to Beged V'Or by Mace, in other words, Beged V'Or B'Sheretz, should dictate how Beged V'Or by Mace works. And so therefore, that's all the Gezer Shavah can tell us. So then if you learn Dom Mina Mina, that the dinim that pertain to the Beged V'Or by Mace should be totally dependent on Beged V'Or by Sheretz, which would mean that I don't know that a mace is able to be metame al derech tumas ol to be metame for a period of 7 days. So how do I know that you're able to be metame a kli beged va'or by means of a mace for a period of 7 days? So Amar Rava, so Rava says, I'll tell you, I have a different makar. Amar Rava, because the pasuk tells us, the pasuk says, v'chibastim bigdechem beyom ha-shvi'i. This is again the parsha of Oel, of Tumas Oel of a mace. It says, and you should wash your clothing bayom ha-shvi'i, on the seventh day, utahartem, and become tar, and purify, v'achar kach tavo al-mach. And then afterwards you can come to the camp. So what do you see? The pasuk says, kol tumas atim etam b'meis. That is the pasuk that tells us that all tumas that are relevant to a meis are no fewer than 7 days. Okay, so you know what? So let's hold here.